Excellent. That's what it's all about. We will move on into all sorts of ways, especially after a fortnight out, because we had to pack in so many things last week. Anna Lewis, whereabouts in London are you?
Well, I'm in the delightful little place called Teddington.
Teddington, marvellous.
Teddington.
A great place and much loved by all Teddington people. Not too far away from Twickenham, actually, and where the old Thames Television Studios used to be by Teddington Lock. If people can remember Thames Television back in the day, it was part of the independent commercial radio, commercial television network. Well, we're waxing lyrical. What have you been getting up to over the last fortnight then, Anna?
I went to Strawberry Hill for a reading group, which was very interesting. It's a book about Charlotte Bronte Emily and Bramwell Bronte's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about snobbery in the 18th century and 19th century and how sort of society worked. And it was really, really good, actually. The author was quite... she had a journalistic background, so she came to it with a very different kind of, not too literary, but more general stuff. Yeah, it was
just
good.
The facts, just the facts. That's the important thing what journalists do, just the facts all the time. Brilliant. And did it have a gothic tinge as well, or am I just hallucinating this?
Yeah, it did a bit. I mean, they looked at the folklore of Penzance had quite a strong bearing on her sort of, well, the Brontes generally, and of course we were in the Great Hall of Strawberry Hill, so it was really, really lovely being in there. And it was night time, so it was very, very atmospheric.
You know, I haven't been in the Great Hall of Strawberry Hill since 1983, I think, or probably 84. Well, there you are. You know, it just goes to show. But on the other hand, according to cosmologists, I'm there, here, and everywhere, and that's what we actually do. Eloise, any questions you want to put to Anna Lewis? She probably wouldn't know that Angela Brown was indeed an actress, but Angela Lewis Brown, of course, who's featured on this show, is a singer who's going to regale us with wonderful music. So you're quite right when you said, who's Angela Lewis Brown? I didn't actually do a little descriptor there, so that's fine. Anyway. Anything you'd like to put to Anna Lewis?
I'm just intrigued how you found out about that...
Event.
Event. That's the word, event.
Yes.
Was it telepathy? Tapping the table?
Yeah. No, Strawberry Hill House has a Facebook page. And occasionally, because I've signed up to it, they send you these kind of little notifications saying, are you interested in this?
Oh.
And I don't have any excuse to go there, actually. But it was very well attended. There were about 25, 30 people there. So 30 people. Yeah, it was quite a busy list. Mm. I was expecting fewer than that, but 25 to 30 people did turn up.
Mind you, if they held it at Twickenham, it'd be like they'd be dropping the ocean, really. So everything's relative. You know? I mean, you know, some of Eva's gigs, when they're performing in front of 25 or 30 people, you can barely breathe. It's Eva, you're back with us. Hurrah.
I am.
So the Herefordshire decision has been just temporarily...
Postponed.
Which is great.
It came too soon.
Exactly. No. And there's nothing worse in life than coming too soon into Herefordshire.
Well, I can't decide on the spot. I'm not very good at that.
And you do have mindfulness, allow time to develop, etc. Yeah. Hopefully Arthur Weingarten will be up from San Diego. We tried and experimented over the last couple of weeks with a few suggested alternative questions for the last two ones. We've given up. We've gone back to the traditional ones for 2020. Eloise is going to deliver them. Off you go. She had an interesting telephonic link and she's coming back again.
My brain, I've not been here for
no,
a good
you
month.
See, this is
what I'm doing.
She takes a couple of weeks ago where we relaunched the whole 2020 scenario. Beverly Spencer was there cooking with gas last week. Eva was on form. Everything sort of sorted out on that basis. We were wishing Eloise happy birthday. All the things were happening.
It's because I've aged up. I've got old now. I don't know what's happening.
No, don't say that.
Because you've done Latin.
That's it. It's ruined everything. Exactly. Anna, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I think I have, yes. That's nice to ask. Thank you.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Mm. I would be absolutely delighted. Thank you very much for asking. Cheers.
Candy Flip, Strawberry Fields Forever. Nothing is real, Arthur Weingarten. Nothing is real. Are you there, Arthur? Have you gone?
I am. I'm wondering how nothing is real. You're absolutely accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we have to sort of just work on that premise that it's all a work of fiction. Everything that's being there, we're writing our own cosmotic and cosmological aspects and so on and so forth. In the studio, two fabulous individuals. You've spoken to them both, of course, before. We have the return of Eloise Sheehan.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
And we also have the wonderful Eva MacDonald.
Hello.
Yay.
Hello, Eva. Hello.
So we're sort of just gradually, I mean, Eva's just sort of regales with the fact she can't believe we're on the 22nd of January 2020. It's all the twos. Two, 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 two.
Crazy.
It's like, you know, ballerinas throughout the world unite, or indeed former African bishops, or indeed people who get a slightly below average undergraduate degree. Either of those things. Two twos around the world. And Arthur, you've been quite busy recently because with Annette, and I know Annette will probably talk more about this next week when she joins us, you were joining up with another well-known midweek drivette of ours and good friend and colleague, of course, Phil Leonis, for the joyous time, which was the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. And I take it all went well.
It was wonderful. It was truly an eye-opener. I'd never been to anything like that, neither had Annette. And it really was a unique experience, I must say, because neither of us are joiners. And so it was with somewhat of a jaundiced eye that we went there. But I got it when we left, it was just wonderful. And it will be a topic of her talk next week.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you say joiners, I mean, we're clearly not referring to carpentry here, although there are some good Hollywood people who are carpenters, you know, obviously Harrison Ford being, you know, amongst up them. The good Lord Jesus was a carpenter as well, I believe, so, you know, there's a long history for that. But in terms of joining, did they actually try to persuade you to join the Los Angeles Breakfast Club and take the pledge of allegiance?
No, was,
no, that's...
No, there was no brainwashing, nothing like that. No.
Yeah.
This was just a free-floating anxiety that... that has always been with both of us, and yet with no foundation, because talk about prejudice, you know, we had no experience of this, so
plus
to have a negative view to begin with is ludicrous.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, no, I mean, this truly, I mean this not because Phil, we both just fell in love with Phil and his wife, but this truly was an eye-opening experience. Mm. And she goes into it, I've read what she wrote, and she hit it accurately. Mm. It really was quite an... You should come here and do that.
Well, I have actually been invited a couple of times, Arthur, and maybe one day I'll be able to make that huge jaunt across the sort of routine or sort of,
yes,
you know, surprise,
yes,
you.
Well, we would welcome you here, believe me.
Well, thank you. I mean, obviously San Diego is not right next door to Los Angeles, but I'm sure we can work our way through that. You know, it's a journey.
Absolutely, yes.
It's great. Eva, any questions you'd like to put to Arthur about life, the universe, or indeed, television today, yesterday, and tomorrow?
Oh yeah. What have you been up to recently? And what are your thoughts on? I don't know anything that's been going on.
Hmm.
Just in general.
Yeah. Have there been any?
Have a bit of a talk.
Yes, I've been flogging all sorts of material with varied amounts of success, from things that look like it might happen to the usual when it doesn't happen. So yeah. I keep busy. And we'll see what happens with that. And what I can tell you is that I was amazed this morning by a news report on the BBC that an Israeli company is now flogging water derived from the thin air, and they have sold these machines at cost to 53 countries where there's desperate parchment going on all the time, lack of water. And it was miraculous. In front of your eyes, you see this machine withdrawing 16 liters of water an hour from the thin air.
See?
I don't trust that.
Why not?
I don't know. That's way too... That's a sort of a science fiction film or horror, isn't it? That's not...
I have to tell you, no one keeled over on camera. They drank the water and they were fine. But it was miraculous, absolutely miraculous. So it shows that, you know, for every Trump in this world, there's a balancing act of someone doing
which can
good.
Trump, quite clearly. You know, that's the whole thing.
Yes, there you are. Anyway, you'll regret that one.
I do believe that Donald's more concerned with impressing Greta Thunberg now, and also actually he likes his peaches, you know.
Yes,
so he's got a number
enemy.
Of key things there. It's very good.
Right.
We have to also, Arthur, just remind people that if they want to find out more about your wonderful wife, etc., and the Chilpack Hollywood Hour, second season, episode 8, Annette is actually the star guest there with the descriptor. Another big week here at your Chilipack Hollywood Hour, in which Phil Linus and Dean Hagland welcome the first guest of 2020, the wonderful Annette Andre, a natural-born performer who worked as a dancer, singer and actress in radio, theatre, television and film in Australia, Europe, the UK and Hollywood. Technically, the UK is still in Europe, but I won't criticise Phil for those minor sort of aspects that sees the United Kingdom somehow as separate from Europe, because Lord knows there are many people who do, sadly. Anyway, that's the sort of key thing from there. Eloise, any thoughts from yourself?
No, I have nothing. No. I'm just shook by the water.
It's that Latin thing that clearly has impacted and positively sort of put you forward from that point of view. And Arthur, I mean, I still find it difficult. We talk about the 2020 effect. Here we are in the 21st century. Do you sometimes sort of turn around and think, well, you know, we've passed Back to the Future's time, we've passed Blade Runner's time, we're into... I mean, we're actually only about a year away from the centenary, 100 years since Rossum's Universal Robots and Carol Čapek's play emerged. And also this year we celebrate the centenary of a certain Isaac Asimov, whom you may have actually encountered back in the day. Do you have any Isaac at all, Arthur?
Do I have what?
Did you ever meet Arthur? Did you ever meet Isaac Asimov?
No.
Right. Yeah. He would have been 100 if he was still with us, but there we are. Got to ask the question as well.
Whenever I hear that, Alex, I have to make a comment. Whenever I hear this, it's as if the dearly departed has done something wrong. He would have been 100.
Exactly.
It's
but,
one of those things.
Finally. Yeah, I
when
know.
You come into a when you come into a restaurant alone, they say, only one.
Mm. Listen, the story of my life, Arthur. I won't go there. It's just part of the arson. We have to cope with it. It's what life is. You know, it's an enjoyable thing from that point of view. Right, we could continue, and probably will for some considerable period of time as the programme proceeds. Actually, Arthur, have you got any observations? Because this is the other question I need to put to you. In the light of the recent sort of shenanigans that have been going on, my suggestion, and you may well sort of have a yes or no of this, that maybe the best solution for House of Windsor is for Meghan, Harry and their uncle, of course, Prince Andrew, to all basically schlep down to Mexico, or at least sort of somewhere close to San Diego. What would you suggest, Arthur? Is that a viable thing?
I would suggest that they take up my idea, which I presented one time on a radio show years ago on the BBC when I was living there, that there is no reason to keep these royals there at that cost when you could hire lookalikes for the thousandth of the thing and still get the same benefits.
Of course.
Because, I mean, in the 21st century, when you're saying to someone, Your Highness, I mean, it literally sticks in the craw. Ludicrous.
Spoken like a true Republican, Arthur. I can see no honorary New Year's honors list for your good self in the near future.
Yeah. And here are these two young, wonderful young people with a new baby named Archie. Thank goodness for Archie. Mm. And an industry is starting once again. Mm. I mean, all of this perpetrates.
Well, it's stopped now, of course, because most of the things have had to be pulled from the stores because they're not going to be part of it anymore. They've lost the HRH brand. Oh, well, never mind.
Oh, believe me, they'll come up with something else. Believe me, yes. Something will flog a pound or a dollar somewhere, yes.
There are very few people who can actually dexterously move from the Los Angeles Breakfast Club to commentary on the British royal family right the way through, or possibly ex-British royal family in one, a couple of instances there, right the way through to the whole concept of story fields. It's been awesome. And Eva is now going to put those last two questions to you.
Hello. Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have, as always, yes.
Good. And hopefully we'll be hearing again from you soon.
I am. I'll wait with bated breath.
I think our next one is probably the usual annual St. Valentine's Day massacre that we actually tend to do, Arthur, in various ways, which we commemorate, obviously, the fine work of Al Capone and various other aspects of St. Lofacolia Day. So I mean, it'd be great. It'd be around that time. Next week, Annette Andre is up for the whole thing. Arthur, we salute you. Take care now. Keep writing.
Yes, thank you. Bye, Alex.
I'm a big, big girl in a big, big world. It's not a big, big thing if you leave me, but I do feel that I do will miss you much, miss you much. I can see the first leaf falling, it's all yellow and nice. It's so very cold outside, like the way I'm feeling inside. I'm a big, big girl in a big, big world. It's not a big, big thing if you leave me, but I do feel that I do miss you much, miss you much.
big, big thing if you leave me. But I do feel I will miss you much. Miss you much.
It is a big, big world when you live in Calgary, Alberta, and you're an avid outdoors man, martial artist, baseball player, and lover of all Mexican foods. We can only be talking about the awesomeness that is the one and only Mark Watson. How are you, Mark?
I am wonderful. Thank you very much for having me.
Excellent. So, just to confirm, are you currently in Calgary?
Yes, I absolutely am.
And is there any sign... Is there any sign at this time in January of a stampede? Because that's one of the things that most people actually say, the stampede!
Well, that's the great thing about Calgary, is there's always signs of a stampede, if you know where to look.
Yeah, we are.
The spirit of the stampede goes all year long. It's just 10 days in the summer, but the emotions and the kind of general spirit of the event always are around. Okay. You can always find it.
Now, Mark, one of the key things that I and indeed our two co-presenters today, Eva and Eloise, have been particularly impressed with is that you are a self-proclaimed anti-author. An anti-author, an anti-author.
Yes.
Somebody who basically has a lot to do with an unconventional approach. You can take the traditional ways of sweating blood over each word that you carve out and putting things into place, etc., and work through that basis. But at the end of the day, sometimes you'd rather be just fishing on the river or watching your sons play hockey.
Me with my degree, to be honest.
Here we are. Eloise, who's just passed her Latin exam, postgraduate studies, of course, very important, doing a master's in medieval history. And you would say, would you say you're the anti-student then, Eloise?
Definitely, yes.
Could be onto something here, Mark, in terms of a strategy that's working through on that basis. But inevitably to that, we've also got something else which has its own form of stampede, the whole essence of catching hell. Not raising hell.
Yes.
Not sort of, you know, doing anything else, but actually catching hell. And part two, Destination, has just been released. Now, talk us through Catching Hell Part One, the journey which was launched back, of course, in 2018.
Yes, I'd love to. So I can tell you that I originally conceived this to be a single novel, but it ended up being about 250,000 words. And for those that don't know, it's very difficult for a first-time author to get picked up for 250,000 word first fantasy book. It's practically impossible. So part one got split off, and it is about two young men in a distant future who are separated after their home is destroyed by a robotic army. The story is very much science fantasy. There's mixes of both. So one of the friends travels off into the world of the more futuristic and the technological, and his best friend, who also mysteriously has wings, travels into the world of magic and a more fantasy-based story. So the first book is about their separation and they're slowly getting deeper into these two worlds.
Sounds fantastic. Eloise, any thoughts?
I was just going to ask what inspired you to write it. Did you write it for yourself or for your children? Or?
I started kind of writing in this world. I call it the Ryujin world, based on one of the main characters kind of overarching through all the stories. And I started writing back in high school before all those kinds of things really started to influence me. I was mostly influenced by a lot of the fantasy I was reading at the time. This would have been the early to mid-1990s. And a lot of the, I was watching a lot of Japanese anime at the time. I thought that the storytelling that they were doing was light years beyond what it was I could consume over here in Canada. And so I was kind of taking in a lot of that. And just pop culture in general is what inspired it in the first place. I heavily lean into the tropes in this particular story. I I try to embrace them as much as I can because I believe that they exist for a purpose, because a lot of people enjoy reading them.
Yeah, The Perilous Journey of Two Best Friends, Johan and Ariu, as science fiction and fantasy, technology and magic collide in an epic finisher like no other. Avenging the destruction of their home was their goal, but with much more at stake, the robotic army of old and the mysticism behind the power, the two brave warriors will have to do more than just fight their fears if they are ever going to bridge the gap between them and reunite. Hmm.
I love it. Sounds... I love it. I love even just listening to you say it.
There we are.
Would it be a sort of dream for it to be made into an anime film?
Hmm.
An excellent question. And I will tell you the truth. Back when I first started this, so back when I was 15, 16 years old, when I first started writing in this world, my kind of overlying goal, my hopes, my dreams for this was that it was going to be turned into an anime film, and if I was incredibly lucky, I would have had the opportunity to voice the main character. I wanted to write the stories, and I also very much wanted to be a voice actor, which didn't really work out for me, and now I've kind of aged myself out of the part. But yes, it was definitely kind of one of the inspiring things for me in the first place. I thought that it was a realistic possibility for the longest time. And then I kind of tempered my goals and my expectations a little bit more, and I think that actually worked out to my advantage.
There's a moment you pause there, Mark, because I was actually just looking at your Facebook page, and normally we like Robin Pierce's lines. Robin Williams, obviously, fine contributor, but no longer able to actually contribute to the show for obvious reasons. He died a few years ago. But in terms of the line here, I love the sort of this is the amazing shirt of a man who A, didn't expect to be on TV today, or B, knew he would and had fun with it. Now that, I think you have to say, is one amazing SpongeBob shirt. I'm presuming, Mark, that this is your SpongeBob shirt. In fact, I'm going to like it straight away. It's just awesomeness. You know?
That is actually a link to someone specifically. That I wish I could take credit for that shirt, but that's not actually mine. It is over here yesterday. There was the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and in the Hall of Fame of Baseball, which, as you mentioned earlier, I'm a huge fan of, there was only ever one Canadian, and he had long since retired. And so the picture you're speaking of is of first baseman Larry Walker, who wasn't expecting to get into the Hall of Fame, and then he was, and then he was wearing that amazing shirt and all of the interviews that he was doing yesterday, and it really is something special, and I was very happy to see it.
You see, this is one of the cultural differences where I know when Abby LeMay comes back from Canada, I say comes back from Canada, obviously she lives in Canada, she's a Canadian.
Track her
back. Exactly, which means when she's over. You know, there is this notion that actually for me, baseball is just rounders. You know, that's you know, right, in Britain, yeah. It's rounders, yeah. Same sort of thing. It's just a bit more fancy. It's not cricket, you know, it's certainly that's a different line entirely, but what the heck. But very impressive, Mark. And the other little question, which you may or may not be able to answer, well, first one, I'm sure you will because you're the author. Did I get the pronunciation of Ariu right there? Is it Johan and Ariu? Or is it are you? Is it quite literally are you, like are you C-3 or whatever? Or is it are you?
It's more are you.
Are
more,
you. I thought I had a feeling it was are you, but then I thought it can't be are you. It must be are you having me on? Are you having a lot? No. And the other thing in terms of pronunciation, which you may or may not be able to help with, but something Eloise raised.
This wasn't me.
And no, it is a day where I've just realised through that Mark Zuckerberg awesomeness that is Facebook, that today is actually Eloise and Alex Day. You know, we are celebrating 1 year. Exactly. 1 year of friendship on Facebook. It's only a year, Eloise.
I know. I've known you for at least 25.
I mean exactly. You know, Eva and myself go back a lot longer than that. It's exactly. It's just a range of things there. But the question actually that we needed to put to you was Mickey Mickelson. Is it Mickey Mickelson or is it Mickey Michelson? I mean, we work with Mickey regularly, obviously. He's responsible directly for yourself being on the show. But it's something which is just, well, it's more into pronunciations. Which one is it? Is it Mickelson or Michelson?
It is Mickelson.
I knew it. Exactly. It's my new favourite name.
Yeah, it's very important that that's sort of working through on that basis. Thank you, Mark, for
isn't it a wonderful name? Just the whole name.
It's great.
Mickelson.
I love it.
I love it personally.
It is, and he's a great soul as well from that point of view. So what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, Mark? Is it a case of, well, I've got another 250,000 word novel to actually write? I've done one duology, so I'll start the second duology now. Or is it a case of, no, it's time to actually do some more martial arts or indeed eat some Mexican food?
It's funny you should mention that. I am going for Mexican food with a friend of mine from work here. It's just about lunch here in Calgary, so I'll be going to that in about an hour. So Mexican food was on the menu by random chance. And as for kind of the overlying writing plan, I'm actually currently working on finishing up a collection of short stories that take place in the same world as Catching Hell, just kind of snippets of different characters all throughout the hundreds of years that this story kind of spans, and I have already spoken to my editor. I should have that in the talented hands of Fluky Fiction by the end of this month, and I hope for a release later this year.
And have you visited this side of the pond? Have you been over to the United Kingdom? Is it something which is in your list of things to do, or is it a case of, don't be silly, you're all full of Chinese viruses over there, why would I risk that?
I have wanted to for a very, very long time. I come from a very Canadian family. You can trace back my Canadian roots back 6 or 7 generations in some directions, which is quite rare, actually. But specifically for my paternal grandfather and grandmother, they're both Canadian, but my grandmother's family came directly from England. My grandfather's father was a home child from Scotland who was brought over to Canada, and talking about going all around the UK and kind of discovering where my namesake has come from and kind of the experiences that they had is incredibly high on my list.
Clearly, there's a radio station in Lincoln, England, not to be confused with Lincoln, Nebraska. We've already had this debate many a time. Lincoln, England, which would welcome you with open arms if you can actually join us on the Midweek Drive. But that presupposes the positive answer to two final questions we need to put to you. First of all, Mark Watson, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Yes, absolutely.
Good, excellent. A quick reminder, of course, Twitter, you can actually find Mark at WriteWatson, which is not right as in write Watson, but right as in physically take the pen or indeed paper and W-R-I-T-E Watson. Very good. Right, Watson. The game's afoot, no doubt. Sorry, Mark, I'm sure you've had that.
I was waiting for it. There it is.
Oh, I am well used to it by this point.
Yeah, I know, etc. Facebook page, of course, facebook.com/MarkWroteABook. Fantastic. M-A-R-C, wrote a book. And, of course, a website, markwatson.ca, because it's Canada.
Hey.
Because it is Canada. And there is a markwatson.com who is also an author, and he's a very fun and very unique individual I've spoken to a couple of times.
Well,
so
we should have Mark Watson squared. We should do a mathematical sort of appreciation of this. You know, have Mark times two, which is even more, if such a thing is possible. So the next critical question then, Mark, is will you be kind enough to return? Will you come back and join us, either in person or at least telephonically? Will you again come back on the show?
I would absolutely love to. I would adore it.
I think that deserves a round of applause, please. And if you fancy some Mexican, well, why not go for some Terrorvision as well?
For some which, though?
Terrorvision. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad we kept the line open because it enabled us to talk over the introduction. It's Terrorvision and tequila.
Okay.
Of Sierra sunrise and margarita, they'll break your heart in the desert heater. Tell you you're thirsty, they'll tell you you're sober, sober, it's all over.
of tequila. Oh, oh, oh.
I know, it's so funny. Terrorvision, Tequila. We've got a few seconds left, so I'm not going to, because I could panic the news for you. It's 5:40, it's not 5:45, it's just literally coming up to, it's long past, or whatever. If you actually are interested in the time, it's just coming round to 41 minutes past 5 o'clock. That's 41 minutes past 5 o'clock, which technically means it's approaching 19 minutes to 5 o'clock. So you just work our way through that. In the next part of the program, Tessa Snipes is going to be delayed. Not deliberately, but if she is listening, we'll have to hold her back with Katie Cross just a little while. Because
it's a nice way of telling her, Alex.
I thought so. Well, you know, it's sometimes you've got to be harsh, you know, cruel, etc. We've got the Dance to the Music UK tour with Jade Quickenden and Christina Rihanoff, who will be joining us. Obviously, extensive balances and shows such as Strictly and so on and so forth. So lots of things to talk about there. Plus, we've got Zoe Jameson joining us again. I wonder how her vet training is going. Well, actually, not her vet training, but as Eva will attest to, last week she was running, quite literally running through Bedfordshire.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Because she's doing the London Marathon. Still hasn't sent us the Just Giving link, even though Robin Pierce has said he'll sponsor her if he does. So, you know, we'll just wait and see what happens with that. Phil Dennis should be back with us, and so, of course, will Robin Pierce. And Angela Lewis-Brown will be talking more about her work and, indeed, her cover version of All Along the Watchtower. Time for Melanie C.
They tried to catch a falling star, thinking that she had gone too far. She did, but kept it hidden well, until she cracked and then she fell. If all the history is true, she's gonna end up just like you. You made it to the other side, but tell me who will be my guide. They filled you up so they can take.
away they go, like some kind of ships in the night, sorting out their fog-bound foghorns in many a wondrous way, really. In fact, that's probably what we could need for another siren. Anyway, in case you're wondering for where Kristina Rihanoff is, she will be joining us, but she's currently, I say, working with a whole range of fabulous folk in the Dance to the Music tour. She's obviously had a whole range of experiences from Strictly Come Dancing, of course. Kristina Rihanoff, in many ways, is sort of Tessa's not lookalike. But Tessa, I know, having just arrived after a busy first day at work, yes, it was Tessa's new job today. Well done, Tessa. Yay. You survived.
Thank you. I've survived. Back on the midweek drive.
And just back in the midweek drive, Eva has come along with a vengeance today and said, what I think we should have as one of the questions that we should put to everybody is, quite frankly, what's in my bucket?
Oh, God.
What's in Eva's bucket?
What's in my bucket?
Exactly. What do you think, Tessa, is in Eva's bucket? You know, I mean, it's strangely did not appear in the news.
Out.
Possibly other more serious lines took to. I can't believe anything was more serious.
Couldn't
than this.
See it through the fog.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. We can't see what's in Eva's bucket because of the fog, is the answer this week to the classic question. What is in Eva's bucket? And you have brought along a fine piece of music, as we can do expect from you these days. Of course, the test is, will this float the boat of Robin Pierce? I don't know.
Exactly.
Or will he be very, very cross about it? See what I did there? He'll be very, very cross about it.
I'm kind of hoping you'll like this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of classic and contemporary country, but it's mixed with a bit of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something for everybody in there, I think.
So it's a kind of hybrid. It's like a hybrid mutation of what it sounds.
Yeah. I have an artist called Katie Cross, and she's Glasgow-based, country Americana. And she's due to release her fourth album on the 22nd of February, so I think a month from today. And the song is called Show Your Hands, which is also the name of the album. And I think if you like Reba McEntire, Kacey Musgraves, Martina McBride, you're probably going to like this.
And I just want to confirm Tessa, for the moment, because, I mean, we've had one or two instances, I know it's a shocker, where sometimes people have actually sent us tunes and we've, in all faith, played the tune and then they said, I'm sorry, I sent you the wrong tune. Can you actually insert this tune instead? It'll happen, you know. It's seamlessly, actually, we could say teaser. Yeah, there is one instance where that will happen. I wonder if the listener will be able to spot it. You know, I had to literally physically edit the tune that had been sent.
Frankly, it was dire.
You know, we're wondering what the heck have they done, and we've replaced it with the updated version. If we'd gone live, we wouldn't have been able to do that. But yeah, it has been done.
I will pass that.
So allowing for that, I just want to confirm here. You mentioned that Katie's latest album, Katie Cross, no, she's just a little bit angry, is, I think that would be a much better title, actually, Katie Cross, no, she's just a little bit angry. Angry. You know,
with a double E as well on the end.
And with a you're quite right, Katie.
And a K for Cross.
Yeah, quite literally, K for Cross and a Katie. And because in this album we've got Show Your Hand, and yet you're saying it's Show Your Hands. And is it
maybe it is Show Your Hand. Maybe I've put an F on the end of it.
If you could imply the plural, we could be in all sorts of ways.
You are correct.
It is show your hand, as in hand of cards.
To
show your hands. Okay, stay with us. We'll find out if this will make its way into Eva's bucket after this.
Show your hand. Show your hand, hear them call, show your hand.
Show Your Hand. Katie Cross, Buckling Boots. Of course, you can find out more about the 22-year-old singer-songwriter from Bishop Briggs near Glasgow, Tessa. Here we are.
Yeah. Oh, look, you've done your research, Alex.
I like to ensure that the show has a certain frisson of research on the whole thing. We're heading off to speak to Christina Rihanoff in a few seconds from now. I think it's fair to say that as far as the team were concerned, that last number will be in Eva's bucket, but not, if she had one, in the bucket of Eloise.
Okay.
I think that's fair to say. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
So we just have to wait and see what actually happens with respect to that. So if you'd like to settle down after a hard day's work and listen to the rest of the programme, you'll be able to hear All Being Well, Christina Rihanoff, world finalist, professional ballroom dancer, instructor, choreographer and author with a degree in tourism and hospitality, joining us in a few seconds from now. Plus, of course, singer extraordinaire Angela Lewis-Brown. Plus, of course, Zoe Jameson. Plus, Phil Leonis. Plus, Robin Pierce. Have you had a reasonably interesting time? Tessa Snart.
I certainly have.
And of course, you're on again with Sound and Country Vision, volume, I forget which volume, 37, I believe, tomorrow evening.
Yeah,
7 o'clock, all locked up, where a certain Nene Jane crashes the party. It's all right, we love you anyway. And life will continue in its own magical way. Tessa, we'll see you next week on the show as well, no doubt.
See you next week, definitely.
Promised this for Tessa actually on Sunday, and I said, well, you know, we'll play it because her mum said it sounds very Strawberry Switchblade-y. So we said, okay, since yesterday, we'll play it. And if we're really, really good, we might be able to talk up to the intro just when we're about to start swinging. those thoughts of yesterday. It's like being in a time machine. Particularly if you go along the Watchtower. But that is a precursor to our next awesome guest, who's a singer and a general all-round dynamic individual, as we're going to hear in a few moments, because she's released some magical tunes into the world and the globe. It's the fabulous Angela Lewis-Brown. How are you, Angela?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. Now, Angela, share with us where you're from, what you're doing, and what we're about to hear in a few moments, which is, I suspect, a classic interpretation of the likes of which Jimi Hendrix never had in mind when he first came up with All Along the Watchtower.
Well, yeah, the great Jimi Hendrix. I mean, I've always loved that track, and I've always loved Jimi Hendrix. So, yeah, it were a pleasure to do my own version of that song. So, yeah. I'm Angela Lewis Brown. I come from, originally I come from Huddersfield in West Yorkshire. And for some time.
I never have known Angela, honestly. You know,
no, really. Well,
is there a slight Yorkshire accent in there?
There is, but funny enough, all this week I've had countless people saying, I recognise that accent. Mm. I've been getting a couple of taxis this week and they've just been more than ever just saying, I recognise that accent, but I don't really feel like it stands out like some accents do, if you know what I mean.
Well, I mean,
because I'm with my fellow Northerners up in Blackpool, I don't feel like it's that standing out. But,
I mean, yeah,
but it must be.
Living with Northerners in Blackpool has to be a title for the album. I mean, that could open up a whole range of things.
I'm trying to blend in.
Remember, Angela, the reason we're from the north is to civilise the south. It's quite simple.
That's true. That's very true.
And I've got two Southerners in the studio. One from Lincolnshire, that's Eva MacDonald. And the other one from even further south. Down south in London, no less. You know? That's
Eloise. Right. Yeah. Well, my little boy was born in Essex, because we lived down south for quite a while. And he's always saying to me, Mum, did I have an Essex accent?
I'm not surprised.
But with him only being young, it's faded now. Let's say it's faded and it's gradually going. And it's just really sparked up a bit of an interest in the southern accents all of a sudden.
As long, Angela, as he didn't actually develop a penchant for white stilettos and dancing around a handbag on a regular basis.
No, I can't say he has yet, no. Trainers, yeah.
Very true. Or in the woods of Yorkshire people, I'll go to the foot of my stairs. I'll go to the foot of our stairs. You've never come across that?
No, I haven't. I'm confused.
Eloise has never, ever heard, I'll go to the foot of our stairs.
She's never heard that. We don't hear it very often,
no,
do you? Except on the, probably on the, what do you call it?
Radio?
Last of the summer wine, well, something like that, yeah.
You go to the foot of our stairs. It's like an expression of shock. Another possible title for the album. Angela, enough of such frivolity. Let's go straight to this particular piece of music. We're going to come back to you after we've heard it. It's All Along the Watchtower by your good self. Are you ready to be amazed, Eva?
I am indeed.
Are you ready to be amazed, Eloise?
I'm prepared.
Here it comes.
To the feet. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Clamming, take my earth. No one ever on my mind. Nobody offered his word. Hey.
waitresses kept their view. Well, all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. I sat in the coldest day, a wild captive growl. Two riders, they were approaching, and the wind began to howl. Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Along the watchtower.
A round of applause, I feel. Yay! Angela Lewis Brown. There we are, all along. I can see Jimmy. Well, I can't physically see him unless I'm sort of, you know, third eye, mystical cosmos, etc. Because, you know, Jimi Hendrix, much like Robin Williams, also died. And indeed no longer with us. Well, you know, Python has died today, Terry Jones. People do.
Isn't that a theme, Alex?
What? Death? Death and good music? By the way, good to go there. We like that. What did you think, Eva McDonald?
It's not something I usually listen to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Eloise liked the music, I believe.
Yeah, I really did. Yeah. I thought. The instrumental was awesome.
So, I mean, was it an inspirational thing to go Jimi Hendrix, or is it a case of no? That's a one-off. Next one up will be Pavarotti. Angela. Yes, that was.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, well, I've always liked Jimi Hendrix, and I just wanted to sort of bring that. I stuck to the sort of the psychedelic sort of 60s feel, which came in through the guitarist and the guitar riffs and everything. I wanted to stick to that, but just put my own slant vocally on it.
Fantastic.
But yet stick to, not go too far off the path.
I could almost feel the power that the Cowley brothers, the new managers of Huddersfield Town, would actually be saying, we want Angela to actually basically do a concert at Huddersfield Football Club. I think that would be
That'd be great.
Put it out there. Angela, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self. How can people get in touch with your good self other than going on Facebook and liking at Angela Wish Brown Music?
Just go on to Angela Lewis Brown Music page and just go on there, and they'll be able to see all what I've done, and just it'll give you updates of when music is coming out and when the next releases are coming. It will say it all on there.
Fantastic.
And it's quite simple to just go on to, and you know, we try and keep people up to date with everything. Yeah. So it's just go
it's
on
the
that.
Socials. It's
that,
the socials.
That'd be absolutely fantastic.
There we are. At Angela Lewis Brown Music is the word. Angela, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today? Has it been good for you?
I have, thank you. I really have tonight, yeah.
Then in which case, will you come back and join us sometime?
Brilliant, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yay! London Beats, Thinking About You. Quite right, too. The Dance to the Music UK tour is happening. It's waltzing into town. It's bringing an unforgettable show, which the whole family will love. It's even going to Darlington. Darlington! Fantastic, the Darlington Civic Theatre. Brilliant stuff there. And we have got, as promised, the absolutely awesome, amazingly talented soul that is Christina Rihanoff with us now. Christina, how are you?
Hello, guys. How are you?
We are full of fun and the joys of life. And it has to be said, Christina, that just looking at, I mean, world finalist, professional ballroom dancer, instructor, choreographer and author, a degree in tourism and hospitality. You finished public school, studied with St. Petersburg branch of modern humanitarian humanitarian academy. And you are a Renaissance woman, my girl.
Well, yeah, it kind of sounds like I've done a lot of my life, didn't I? I'm not that old, by the way.
We become chronologically gifted. That's the thing, Christina. So how is this tour going? Because, I mean, you've said yourself, I mean, basically, you work with Stagecoach Performing Arts Schools across the country.
Yep.
You've been developing this whole side of things. You've got, obviously, Jake Quickenden on the line from this point of view. How's the rhythm moving?
It has been amazing, actually. And all of my cast around me, Jake and Joe, who dances with me, Marcella. Mm. Say hello to everybody.
Hello.
They've gone very quiet. They're in the background there. Hello. That's all right. It's good.
It's been really great, you know, and actually having children performing with us, I think, has been really the best moments about this whole show, because it's such a joy to see them perform with us. They absolutely love.
This is important. Now, Christina, in the studio, we have a wonderful co-presenter, superb individual, Eva McDonald. And last week, I was sharing with Eva the fact that because she does a lot of entertaining with the various camps, etc. But she admitted something, which I was quite shocked at, actually. I was quite shocked. Eva, it was when you said, you don't dance.
Not properly.
I mean, I thought once we knew you were coming onto this show, Christina, we thought, what better way, fire the medium of radio, you know, to actually sort of say, what should Eva do to actually sort of start fulfilling the job? I mean, I'm not, she may not reach your fantastic skills, etc. But in terms of, I mean, she's a classically trained opera singer, but how can she actually get the dance steps moving, Christina? What advice would you have for Eva?
Jake has an advice.
Jake, hi. Jake Quickenden's with us as well. It's a double of a Jake. How are you? Well, there we are. Eva, there's no excuse now whatsoever.
Tell us, Eva, have a Jaeger bomb. Let your hair down.
That's what I was doing last night.
Here you are. You've got your advice.
Sounds like all good advice.
Jaeger bomb, let her hair down.
Genius.
Jake, what's it like working with the fabulous Christina Rihanoff?
Well, it's amazing. This whole tour has just been like, it's so joyful to be part of anyway. And it's just, we get to work and we have a laugh and I get to watch amazing dancing and I'm quite good at just talking complete nonsense. So I just talk nonsense, sing a few songs and have a laugh with the crowd, and it seems to be going down really well at the minute. That's and everyone's enjoying it. So yeah, it's a winning formula. Amazing dancing and me singing and talking nonsense. So we're on for a winner.
So inevitably, when we actually get this particular sound coming through, does it actually sort of open up a whole new thing? Are the sequins in force? I mean, Christina, is the heavy usage of sequins in the show?
Well, the sequins always going to be part of my life since I was like 5 years old. So I love that, and he's still loving it. And yes, it's all glamour and glitter.
Awesome. You got the Charleston, you got tap, you got 15 dance styles through every decade. Jake, how do you keep abreast of all? I mean, I know you're a Dancing on Ice winner, so you know the business from that sort of point of view. It's there. It's working through that X Factor star, Hollyoaks newcomer, etc. But Jake, you know, just working through is it just a case of, you know, step by step, no pun intended, that's how you work through it?
Well, luckily, I don't have to do any of those dances, so I just watch, so it's easy for me. I just sing the songs while they're dancing. Mm. And then I just have a dance-off with one of the kids from the schools. That's literally my input into the dance. And then, yeah, singing, that's it.
So let me tell you, he's really good at dancing, actually. I should have thought a bit more about what to do with him. He's an exceptional dancer as well as a singer, so, yeah.
See, it has to be said, Christine, I'm being perfectly honest here, I've often used the line that if ever on the dance floor, you use the adaptation of move your arms like crazy so they distract from what's actually happening in the feet. I don't think that's the best way forward somehow. You know,
I think a lot of my celebrity partners did exactly that.
No names, but you know, we've seen the whole sort of system there. Eva, any questions for either Jake or indeed Christina?
Just seeing this Dance to the Music UK tour. Mm-hmm. When did it exactly start?
When did it begin?
I mean,
when did it all begin?
Yeah, and like what the tour dates and stuff, because I'm reading it now, but it says, it kicked off on January the 11th. Is it going to...
It's literally starting. Talk us through, Jake, the sort of routine. Because I've already given a tease to the fact that you're in Darlington, etc. You've obviously got dancetothemusic.co.uk to actually find out further details in terms of dancetothemusictour.com. But talk us through it for the benefit of people who say, it's a radio station. Get them talking about radio. Jake, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry, I didn't quite catch what you meant.
Talk us through the tour because basically it's running throughout the early part of this year. You've got 40 dates. You finish up in Peterborough. I mean, Peterborough. It's awesome. That's March the 2nd. 2 days actually before the birthday of our very own student vet, Zoe Jameson.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, it's a long old tour, but it's worth it, and it's fun, and like you said, people can get tickets from the website, they can go on our social medias, our Twitters and our Instagrams, and you know what, just for a family night out, you might not necessarily be a huge fan of singing, but you love dancing, and you might not be a huge fan of, like, tap dancing, but you love salsa, do you know what I mean? Like, there's everything in there for people to come watch and have a laugh, and we make it as fun as possible, so... Get involved, get your tickets, and happy day.
Now, we are just looking at the showreel for 2018, the new sensational dance show created, of course, by Christina Rehalf, a story of dance evolution from the 1920s to the present day. And I'm already exhausted just by looking at the video, you know, from the golden era. I mean, was it a labour of love, Christina, or was it something which you just thought, actually, this has to be done? We have to take this on tour.
I think it's just been for 8 years on Strictly, and knowing the fact that has on families, because it's a show you can watch with all generations, and it kind of brings joy to everybody. I thought it would be great to create something similar for the live stage, and literally the grandparents can come with your grandchildren. There's something for everybody, because like I said, we're going through every decade with the biggest hits of each era, and showing how the dancers evolved, the music evolved, and who was in, say, the biggest icon of that era and made the biggest impact. It's a great show with lots of famous hits, you know, people sing and even dance a little bit in their seats. So it's a great feeling to see that joy in the audience. And so it's literally for everybody. It's a family show, and it's not. I don't think there is a lot of shows which you can take your kids to, and it's definitely the one.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And we also, with Eloise Sheehan in the studio, have somebody who has interviewed and actually knows Gene Kelly's widow, I believe.
I do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know you're a fan of the old-time, and Fred Astaire, etc. Eloise, any questions you'd like to put to either Jake or Christina?
Christina, I obviously, looking at the video and at the information, and you've previously said it's all types of dance, what is your favourite and what era?
I love a lot of styles because I'm quite, I just do. But I think my absolute favorite is Argentine Tango, which we do, interestingly, to Michael Jackson music. Yeah. And so that's a little bit of a twist, I suppose. But yeah, that was always my favorite to work on, is the choreograph, and I've done a few great ones on Strictly. So, but I like a lot of different styles, but I can't do everything, so... That's
yes, you can, Christina. We know you can. Secretly,
no,
you can.
No, I definitely was not going to do dance, like a street dancing or break dancing. So we leave it to the young ones.
To be fair, it has to be said, actually spinning around on your head is not necessarily the most glamorous position to actually go through. It's just a thought in terms of on the other hand, Jake, on the other hand, possibly it's thought. Very quickly, we'll just go through the actual sort of lines in terms of where you're heading off to in terms of the system. We're now at 22nd, Crewley at IC in the Lancaster Grand, Workington Carnegie Theatre, Southport, Telford, Bury St Edmunds, and why haven't they yet? Sorry. Maidstone, Hazlitt Theatre, Camberley Theatre, and of course the Haysbeck Theatre in February. That's when you're sort of heading through Wyvern, The Exchange, Dunstable, Redhill. Go on the website. Go to the website. All the details are there. Dancethemusic.tour. We've got two final questions for both of you. Jake Quickenden and Christina Rehanoff, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for both of you?
We loved it. Thank you very much, guys. And we just also go to dance on stage.
The next question is, will you be kind enough to return? Will you come back with us in the very near future?
We would love to.
Yay! kind of got a rhythm that might help with the jogging, or will it? We have to ask our ace runner, as well as premier student vet, planning, of course, for the London Marathon, Zoe Jameson. How are you, Zoe?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, after you've just done the Dance to the Music 2020 UK tour with Christina Rehanoff and Jake Quickenden, curiously if we actually did them when they left Lincoln, I suppose, before Lincoln. It's very bizarre. But still, we knew we'd get them some way, shape or form. That's been splendid. We've got Eloise in the studio. We've also got a new catchphrase, which I'm sure you'd be keen to follow through, Zoe. What's in Eva's bucket? Very strange. Actually, even more wonderful with a vet, really. What's in the vet's bucket? What's in Zoe's bucket today? Yeah, but how's it going? How was Bedfordshire? Have you run through Bedfordshire? And whereabouts do we find you running this evening?
Well, I'm not in Bedfordshire, but I'm close by. I haven't run that far yet. I am in a place called Deanshanger.
In a place called what hanger?
Deanshanger.
Dean.
Try again.
Deanshanger?
Deanshanger. Yeah, like the name.
Deanshanger.
Deanshanger.
Hyphenated or apostrophized?
No, all one word.
Deanshanger. Strange.
Yeah. That's the place to look
I'll tell you what, whilst Eloise talks to you about life, the universe, and how you can actually help her bad back, I'll actually have a look in terms of, well, she's a vet, she should have known one or two things about lumbar regions and such like. I would say, in these days where the NHS are so stressed, if in doubt, ask a vet. So, Eloise, have a little chat whilst I try and find out where exactly Deanshanger is.
Cool. Zoe, if I was a hamster or a horse or some other type of animal, how would you treat my back pain?
Oh, dear.
Good luck.
What happened to you?
Nothing. It's just given up on me. I think it's since I turned 23.
Well, that's it then.
Welcome to the old days.
Yeah. Some core strength exercises. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Core strength. Lying on the floor. I don't know whether that's a good way forward. Deanshanger, actually pronounced Deanshanger, is a village and civil parish in South Northamptonshire, northwest of Milton Keynes. In 2007, it was joined with the civil parish of Wicken to form Deanshanger Ward, returning two councillors. The population of the civil parish in the 2011 census was 3,817.
So if
they all give you a pound for sponsoring your London Marathon run, there we are. That's over nearly £4,000.
That would be very good, wouldn't it?
That's the way forward. We are waiting for the connections to be sort of delivered to us and sorted through that. We're waiting in the same way that Sam and David are waiting outside to maybe be let in the studio. I know, it's a tough call, but somehow along the line, we'll make those decisions. Zoe. Are you ready for the last two questions to be asked to you? Not necessarily what's in Eva's bucket. Would you like Eva to ask one, or would you like Eloise to ask one as well?
Oh, yes, please. Oh,
okay. Eva, ask one of those questions.
Hello, Zoe. Have you enjoyed your link with us today?
Mm-hmm. I have indeed. Good. Dating everyone's geography of England.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at geography, so.
Deanshanger.
Me too.
Mm. Will you be joining us again next week?
Hopefully.
That's where she may be, in another strange and mysteriously wonderful rural area of the world. Run safely, Zoe. And
thank you.
If there are any werewolves out there, which there shouldn't be because it's not a full moon, but if there are, run like the wind.
I'll try and I'm a scat man.
Everybody stutters one way or the other, so check out my message to you. As a matter of fact, I don't let nothing hold you back. If the scat man can do it, so can you. Everybody's saying that the scat man stutters, but does and never stutter when he sings. But what you don't know, I'm gonna tell you right now that the stutter and the scat is the same thing. Yo, I'm the scat man. Where's the scat man? I'm the scat man.
Why should we be pleasing any politician? Reasons would try to cheat diseases if they could. The state of the condition insults my intuition, and it only makes me crazy and hard like wood. Everybody stutters one way or the other, so check out my message to you. As a matter of fact, don't let nothing hold you back. If the scat man can do it, brother, so can you. I'm a scat man. My message to you. As a matter of fact, I don't let nothing hold you back. If the scat man can do it, so can you. I hear you all ask about the meaning of scat. Well, I'm the professor, and all I can tell you is why you're still sleeping, the saints are still weeping, because things you call dead haven't yet had the chance to be born. I'm the scat man. Where's the scat man? I'm the scat man.
10:30 a.m. in LA can only mean it's time for the Midweek Drive team to welcome their top Californian cultural correspondent, Phil Leonis, back for another segment of Cultural Perspicacity.
And of course, that's the first time we played that in 2020 because, as Eva will attest to, last week, of course, Phil clearly involved with meetings with the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. Week before then, as we said on air, clearly too involved with Andre to bother with the likes of us. It's all right. Arthur Weingarten thought he went very well, which is all we need to know. Scatman Man, how are you, Phil Leonis?
I am so sorry that you have been utterly devoid of...
Leonis-less.
You've been devoid of cultural perspicacity, whatever that means. I don't even know what it means, but I bring it to you gladly. And I like how you just, you nudge me, just slightly. By refusing to play me in with music that I would enjoy. Yeah. So that's your way of getting me back, and I...
Phil, that is the theme I feel you and Dean should actually put to the fore with respect to Chilpack Hollywood Season 2. You should actually go scat on the whole thing.
I don't understand that song, but I do kind of like the noise that it makes, and I was dancing to it. But it is no Show Your Hand. That song was top-notch.
Hey, this is an interesting one. You know, Eva would actually agree with you. And as you well know, Eva, and we also welcome Sam Stone and David J. Howe to the awesomeness that is the Siren Studio, prepping, obviously, as they do as concert professionals for the Stone Tapes latest edition, going out sometime later in the month, early February. But the classic line, Sam, I don't know if you sort of worried about this or fret about it in any way, shape or form, but the answer is... Well, there is an answer, because the question is, what is in Eva's bucket?
Oh, yes. The new classic game show.
What is in Eva's bucket, David J. Howe?
What is in Eva's bucket?
It's up to your imagination.
Where is Eva's bucket? I mean, can you not even
it's
see...
It's imaginary.
It could be a blue bucket.
It's an imaginary bucket.
Yeah, not when it used to be played. Mm.
Am I allowed to guess what's in Eva's bucket?
I think you should, Phil.
Love. Mm. Love is in Eva's bucket.
Yay. There we are. Did you hear that, Eva?
I didn't know.
No. Would you like to say it again now that she's got her headphones actually on? What's in Eva's bucket, Phil?
Love. Love is in Eva's bucket, wow. Yeah.
Love?
Because yeah. all you need is love. Or technically, the egg in French. All you need is love. Love is in Eva's bucket. It's an egg.
You're Brexiting.
You were saying let the
French go, Alex. You're Brexiting now, and it's It's England first.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I have actually tried to open up the opportunities for Meghan and Harry to actually join Dean and yourself on Chilpack Hollywood.
Yeah, okay, can you do me a favor? Please do me a favor. I wrote this to Richard Fitzwilliams, and I know that this is going to sound as like I was joking, except maybe to you, Alex, because you are keenly aware of the fact that I have deep emotional problems. So as soon as the Meghan and Harry story broke, I was in D.C., and it is all anybody was talking about, and I read it, and I said, odd that this story would drop right after that disastrous Prince Andrew interview. So immediately I just thought that this whole thing, because people were going, oh, isn't it awful? They did this without the Queen's approval. They did it without... I thought it was all organized by the royal family as a distraction.
Phil, as you will be aware, if you're listening to back issues of the podcast and previous shows, my suggestion to Richard Fitzwilliams, in fact, was that Prince Andrew and indeed Harry and Meghan should go south of the border down Mexico way and set up a whole new world there. Nice.
I don't know why Meghan and Harry should have to be with Andrew. That seems like a punishment beyond.
Who's your royal correspondent?
You don't listen to the Meghan show, do you?
No.
You're lost, David. That's all I can say.
So genuinely, ask Richard for me. Say that your conspiratorial-minded cousins from across the pond think that this maybe was just a... Look, and I know it sounds crazy that I would think that, and I gladly acknowledge that having been living in America for these last few years, I probably have been driven crazy, but we literally live in a country where when we want to distract from impeachment, we start war with Iran. So I can't believe that it would be outside the pale for someone to say, hey, how do we distract from this story? Mm. I know, let's lead with the television actress. She knows how to draw publicity. Mm. So, anyway,
Interesting, and that's all I will actually say, Phil. Apart from the fact that do you know how many interviews Richard Fitzwilliams has now clocked up just talking about that story alone, from your CNNs to your Al Jazeeras, your talk radios and so on, how many in Siren Radio, etc.?
Yeah, do you know I do. Saying? I do.
How many?
Yeah, 7. 100. He's done 7.
He's done over 100.
7. I don't know. Maybe somewhere in between there.
Yeah, he's done over 100. And he's back on the show tomorrow doing some reviews, because it's coming around to that time where we're changing the formula a little for the Leonis Fitzwilliams Predictor Challenge. Of course, we're talking about the Academy Awards. We still want your input into it, Phil. But because you've won the last twice round, I've decided to actually ramp up the British side. So in addition to Richard Fitzwilliams, confirmation last week on the Midweek Drive that Emma Tinson is going to be, now that she's a fully-fledged reporter on as an Entertainment Today Soul, she will also be adding her two penneth into the predictions. So it's going to be Emma Tinson and Richard Fitzwilliams versus Phil Leonis in the predictions for the Academy Awards. That's all I would say.
Wow.
Everything's
changing.
Everything changes, David.
It's fantastic.
Nothing stays the same. That's why we love the whole thing. Change, my dear, and not a moment too soon.
Too soon, yes, indeed.
Phil won't get that, being a Doctor Who appreciation. The other thing which I said, briefly we got this, I was talking to Robin Pierce, as one does, about a week ago, because Alan Stevens was on this particular time slot giving his oration, and I suggested... SmackDown fight here, Sam, you could possibly be the referee. In the blue corner, talking about Doctor Who matters, David J. Howe. In the red corner, Alan Stevens. Who would win, I said? Who would win?
That's interesting.
The listening audience.
What the battle's about, really, doesn't it?
It would be about Doctor Who, obviously. Who would win? Who would be?
What if we both just agreed with each other?
Well, are we saying it's a SmackDown to the death?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, I mean, Eloise is the medieval expert. I mean, should we actually bring back Battles to the Death on the basis of quiz shows?
Yes.
Because if it was to the death, then the winner is automatically the listening audience.
There we are. Thank you. That, I think, sets you up as a serious, and I mean serious, contender to be the Midweek Drive's most valuable contributor this week. But that's in the purview of Robin Pierce. Do you want to say any words to Eloise Sheehan, who had her birthday last week, and the week before she was celebrating her birthday early with her father, so she's like, had like bit royalty, three consecutive birthdays, and today, of course, she has the third and most significant anniversary, a one-year Facebook friendship with yours truly. Oh. I mean, you know, what can one say?
Yeah.
You can have a word with Eloise, Eva, Sam, or David. Your choice.
Wow. You just threw so many numbers at me.
And you're not a number, you're a free man.
First, my condolences about the one-year friendiversary.
There you go.
I don't know. I just would like, it's nice to speak to my friends, and I would just like to know if 2020 seems different than 2019, because speaking for those of us on these shores, 2019 was a hard one. It was a tough year. And everybody had hope that 2020 would be somehow a more gentle year. And I'm wondering if that's your experience.
Well, we're not hearing about Brexit every 5 minutes. So that's a relief.
Very true.
For everybody. all the elections. So that's a massive relief and a big improvement, I think.
Although, curiously enough, I did a feature this very morning about how people are panicking about travel in Europe, because obviously things could change very rapidly in 2021.
And that's scaremongering for you, Alex. It happens, doesn't it? That's the problem. That's been the problem.
Life is what happens to you whilst you're busy making other plans, as John Lennon once said.
It is interesting, isn't it, that so much upheaval is actually caused by our problems with how much things are changing, right? I'm not casting any kind of weight on whether one should be for or against Brexit, but there is a motivation behind it, which is understandable. We see it in many different countries, this impulse towards rampant globalization, bringing on change that we're not okay with. Mm-hmm. And so an effort to pull back from that rampant change is leading to upheaval and change of a different kind. Exactly. So it's almost like no matter what we do, rampant upheaval and chaos wins.
And that's how we like it, because that's the kind of world we live in. And if Eloise wishes to crack her knuckles on
that,
that's fine as well.
In that studio, it's how you live. Yeah, I mean, it's
our little world. Phil, have you had a recent interesting telephonic link with us today?
You are nothing if not radio's whirling dervish, Alex Lefchuk. I have had an unreasonably interesting time with you today.
Well, we heavily promoted the latest edition of Chilpack Hollywood, as you'd expect, when we spoke to Arthur Weingarten earlier in the production. Annette is joining us next week. Will you be joining us next week, Phil Leonis?
I shall return.
And Phil Leonis, what is in Eva's bucket?
Love.
It changes everything. Only 7 then again, maybe it doesn't. What the hey? It's almost like an 80s, 90s spectacular. Robin Pierce, who has actually produced an awesomely wonderful review of Rise of Skywalker in Starburst magazine, the world's longest running magazine of sci-fi, horror and fantasy, which also has lots of plugs with, of course, Sci-Fi Weekender, because it even advertises Sophie Aldred's latest book. It's awesome. Robin, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
Hello there, Lincoln. How are you?
Well, we're still alive.
That's good. It's always better than the alternative, Alex.
Is it? Okay, you've heard the show, Robin. No messing about whatsoever. It's over to your good self. You've got four fine folk in the studio, plus, of course, our listener, keen to actually find out where you're going to pitch this. Do you go down the line of Strictly Come Dancing? Christina, Rihanna, after you go around Angela, Lewis Brown.
A show I have never watched, nor will I ever.
There we are. Okay.
Right, let's take it from the top. Anna Lewis, interesting segment, but you know what? When she was talking about where she was, my mind went to Strawberry Fields Forever, and as soon as she was done, you played it. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Just shows. Turning into Professor X?
It's the cosmos at work, really. The cosmos at work.
I mean, I seriously got a chill down my back when the opening bars just thought, no, he hasn't. We're not that closely attuned, surely, are we?
Mm-hmm. Carry on, Robin.
I have a question. Arthur Weingarten, you keep talking about the Los Angeles Breakfast Club.
Mm.
What is it? I'm assuming it's not, as I had thought, a club where people eat breakfast,
which I would like. I think David J. Howe might be able to answer that, because he's appeared on the Los Angeles Breakfast Club with Sam Stone.
A couple of years ago, Sam and I were over in L.A. for Gallifrey. And I think we went out on the Monday, I think, that week. And the Los Angeles Breakfast Club takes place every week on a Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Now, it was originally created, as I understand, and I might have the detail here wrong, by folks like Charlie Chaplin.
Yes.
Way back in the day. Mm. And the idea was to have a kind of a place where actors, producers, writers,
could chill out and network.
Businessmen, could get together, have breakfast, chat, chill out,
so
network.
There are croissants involved.
And make deals. Croissants are involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big fry. So basically, it's still going to this day. Lily Holloman is the current...
And you can listen to the podcast on a monthly basis of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. It's part of the package that Phil provides at no extra cost.
But it's a very, very friendly morning. And they have talks. The one we went to, they had a talk from the director of the Griffith Observatory all about the work that they were doing in terms of improving the observatory and all that kind of thing. So it was absolutely fascinating.
Which is just behind the Hollywood sign, is it not?
It is.
There we go, you see.
Rebel without a cause.
So really, really interesting, fascinating... place, lots of little silly traditions and things, like, you know, little chants that they do and talks and
they
pledge you into
it's a bit like that, Robin.
Don't go there.
Like that, but more of
do not go there. No, we need to move into our routine. It's a wonderful, fun experience.
It is
wonderful.
A fun
experience. Exactly. I was going to say it's more of a riffing
surreal,
on.
Surreal experience.
It's very surreal and it's wonderful. I loved it.
Keep going, Robin. Only 8 minutes ago.
Then. Katie, as in Katie Sackhoff, sang something about showing her hands.
Not Sackhoff, of course. It was Katie Cross. She was just a little bit angry.
Exactly. Because of the double E.
Of course,
The only Katie of that name spelt that way that I... Anyway, I'll give it a pass. It is about as country as I get. Mm. I did not mind it. I did not object. At least it wasn't like Dolly Parton or Tammy Wynette, D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Yeah. Yeah. But I did prefer All Along the Watchtower by Angela Lewis Brown, because that's my all-time favourite Hendrix tune, because it always takes me back, it always evokes, like, you know, those choppers flying into action in Vietnam. And when I heard the lady speak, I thought, oh, good grief.
It's Huddersfield. Huddersfield. Go to the foot of our stairs, he says again, because it's a phrase I like to use.
And I was kind of expecting the All Along the Watchtower.
I'll be happy on that Watchtower. I will.
But it was a really good version. She came close to being the contributor of the week.
Close, but
Christina. And I've written something, and it's not Boris Karloff.
Christina Rihanoff. And Jake Quickenden.
I don't really do.
No, no, you said that. No. Yeah,
I'm not a Dan.
Yeah.
My snakehead days are way behind.
Well, that's not what I've heard, but still. You've got your wedding with Tiffany coming up fairly shortly.
Still waiting to find out where I can sponsor Zoe Jameson. Fantastic to hear Phil Linus back on the show. Mm. Now the cast is complete. So, you want to know who's going to be the contributor of the week?
Well, I think the line is ready.
For services above and beyond the call of duty.
Mm-hmm.
For celebrating her birthday twice.
Mm-hmm.
For acing Latin and for managing the show with a back problem, it can only be Eloise Sheehan.
I feel loved. Thank you.
What's the back problem? Can I get off
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will happen.
Well done on acing Latin.
Yeah, I got a first.
Nothing
That's
like
amazing.
That. And whilst we're speaking about ace, don't forget on Sunday, February the 9th, an audience with Sophie Aldred with her latest book at Childhood's End at the Fab Cafe in Manchester, a place I've been to. We've, I think, been in the current edition of Starburst magazine. Never let me say I don't go do cross-promotion on this. So there we are. And your book is out very soon as well, Sam.
It is. 14th of February out on digital. We're doing a big launch at Gallery Convention.
Already heaps of positive reviews on NetGalley, which is fantastic.
There are.
So it's all there. And the book that people need to order is, of course,
The Stranger in Our Bed by Samantha Lee Howe.
Stranger in Our Bed. Not The Stranger in Eva's Bucket in Our Bed, but, it could be a whole new world on that.
That could be a whole new book.
That could be a new book.
That's a new book idea.
Yeah, I think I can work through that.
Somebody needs to sneak me a photograph of the bucket.
We already had a problem with a smelly badger early on the show. We don't want to go any further. It's too much. I mean, when you've got a program which brings you ballroom dancing, strawberry fields, smelly badgers, and knuckle cracking, you realise you've actually taken it to a whole new world. So that's it, pretty much. We thank Anna Lewis, Arthur Weingarten, Mark Watson, Tessa Snott, Angela Lewis-Brown, Zoe Jameson, Phil Leonis, and, of course, your good self, Robin Pierce, and, of course, our Strictly People, Jake Quickenden and Christina Rahanoff. Thanks to the studio team of Eva McDonald. Did you enjoy the programme, Eva?
I did, thank you. It's been very nice.
Sam, it's been brief, but, of course, we've got a full, brand-new spanking stone tape show, which is just about to be actually tucked away with, I believe, a certain Robin Pierce, also featured there.
Well, how about
I'll
that?
I'll be there.
Star of the show.
Amazing. David J. Howe will be there as well.
He will. Yay.
And so will Eloise Sheehan.
Yep.
There you are. That's pretty much it. What should we actually say to wrap up the whole sequence today?
About congratulations, Eloise?
You know, I think that's perfectly good. I'm choking with the emotion of the whole thing here, but that ultimately sums up the whole thing. We'll be back with Midweek Drive Morning Edition tomorrow morning. When, David, if you wish to tune in, of course, you could listen to Richard Fitzwilliams, our Royal Correspondent.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah, Richard Fitzwilliams is your Royal Correspondent.
And film critic as well. Not just ours, but yes, exactly.
Did he just review Royal films?
No. In fact, I think he's finally getting round to 1917 and Rise of Skywalker tomorrow, I believe. And don't forget, if you want to see Robin Pierce's review of the Star Wars movie, that's also in Starburst magazine. One little mini piece that I'll say to Ed Fortune. Ed, agree mostly with what you said about Lost in Space. Also, curiously, going to be talked about on the Stone Tape. But only 6 out of 10? Only 6 out of 10?
Oh, no, no,
come, Ed, come.
Ed. Oh, no.
I mean, if Kieran Moore can actually give the Doctor Who Spyfall 7 out of 10, and I know Kieran's a good fan for that, but, you know,
it's
6 out of 10 for Lost,
absolutely.
But that's the kind of controversy we'll get on the Stone Tapes. I think we already decided what we're going to say. It's going to be, well done, Louise. Congratulations, Louise. After three. 1, 2, 3. Congratulations, Louise.
Did you get posted? What you talking back then? Won't you say my, say my? So won't you say my name? If you claim you want me, it ain't no thing. You ain't been calling me shady. You ain't been calling me baby.
Siren 107.3.
It's crazy when the thing you love the most is the detriment. Let that sink in.